Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.
All right, great to have you back with us. We've got a real good matchup today, as Mark Simon and Bill just talked about, Dylan Cease and Logan Webb. But now it's a pleasure to bring in Keith Law. He covers baseball for The Athletic. Keith, how are you today? Ah, Keith is almost here. All right, Ref, thank you so much. Keith will be with us in a second. Well, that was a good introduction, so I'll just, Raf, save that, and we'll do it again. All right. Let's take a look at the scoreboard. Keith Law is going to be with us in a second, and, of course, he covers the draft and all that kind of stuff that's coming up. And also, he got to see Kyle Harrison pitch last weekend for Richmond, and I want to find out what he thinks about the Giants farm system as well. We've kicked it around a lot this morning as to what the Giants should be doing. Looking at the scoreboard today, by the way, Tampa Bay is beating Toronto 6-2. That is now a final. Kevin Gausman got hit on the ankle by a line drive and had to leave the field with the trainer, and x-rays were negative for him, so that is somewhat of a blow for the Blue Jays. The Yankees are beating Cleveland 10-4, and that is at the end of the seventh inning. Cleveland and Minnesota, of course, fighting it out in the Central, and has a big impact on this White Sox team that is playing the Giants today. All right, Keith Law, you there?
I am here.
All right, terrific. I gave you a very good introduction and how famous you are for covering baseball for The Athletic, and I'm glad you could be with us today. How are you, Keith?
I'm good, thanks. How about you?
Good, very good. I'm looking forward to what's coming up in your world, and we love having you on. With the draft coming up and everything else, but you got to see Kyle Harrison pitch, and you told us that you were going to be able to do that, and of course he is the hottest thing going right now in the Giants farm system. What did you think?
He's very good. He's very interesting. It is a kind of an unconventional delivery, and I think a very tough look for hitters. He was mid-90s. I believe he topped out for me at 97. He's got a really good breaking ball that's very tough both on left and right-handed hitters. He comes from a bit of a lower slot, and it's a funky delivery. He seems to repeat it well enough to throw strikes. It reminded me a little of Chris Sale, both more less mechanically but more in terms of what it looks like to hitters as he's pitching. And obviously Chris Sale, a huge part of his success has been how deceptive that delivery is. So I don't want to say he is Chris Sale, but it's at least a little bit of the kind of starter kit there. And Harrison is dominating in Double-A right now. I would certainly expect to see him in Triple-A before the end of the season.
Wow. All right, Keith Law, good report on Kyle Harrison. Now, there are other people there at Richmond that you got to see, a relief pitcher as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, two of them. So Arde Dabovich was actually promoted right after that game, so I'm going to take credit for that, of course,
right,
where he was – not only was it big, two above average to plus pitches, but he throws a ton of strikes, and that's the big thing that separates him from the other guy I'll discuss. And they bumped Dabovich up to Triple-A, I'm sure, with an eye towards seeing if he can potentially help them later this season. And Cole Waits threw the eighth inning, Dabovich threw the ninth as the sort of traditional closer for them. Waits has elite characteristics on his fastball, 95-98, great carry, high spin rate, pretty good slider as well. He just doesn't throw enough strikes at this point. Now, if he does, he's got a chance to be a very high-end reliever in the big leagues. He just doesn't have the command or control to get there yet.
Boy, great. Keith Law, great to have you with us today. Good report on the Giants farm system in Richmond. What about the farm system in general? Because we've kicked this around a lot today. Maybe parting with a couple of the prospects to get an innings eater or maybe another bat. Do they have depth throughout this farm system? And they're not going to trade Harrison or the top three or four, but do they have depth that people would be interested in?
I think they do. They've had some, it's been a very up and down year in the farm system where Luciano gets off to a good start. He gets hurt. Matos struggled. I think, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think Toribio has also struggled. So some of the bigger names coming into the year have not had the seasons they expected, but we've had some other guys do better than expected. There's been a lot of very positive press on Casey Schmidt so far, who you've always believed he could really field at third base and that there was some power there, but was he going to make enough contact? Was he going to show enough hit tool to get to the power and let the other tools play? He has so far. Now, whether that makes him a guy they like so much they decide they want to keep, or somebody who I know for a fact would have value in trade, I couldn't tell you, but it makes up for the fact that some of the other more hyped, more highly touted guys haven't quite had the seasons you expect.
All right. Well, we'll see where we are in the end of July. As I say, prospects are just that. They haven't done anything yet. And you always get a new crew, which you're going to get July 17th when the draft happens. So we love your mock drafts and things like that. Who's at the top of the draft these days, the first few picks?
So Drew Jones is, I think, consensus the top prospect in the draft. We don't all necessarily agree on how good he is exactly. I think he is the best prospect in the draft, but not by a huge margin. I think there are several other players, Baltimore, who pick first, could consider there. Cam Collier, the son of Lou Collier, I have as the second best player in the draft class. He's only 17 and already in junior college. Even went and played a couple of weeks on Cape Cod League with four-year college players before packing it in a few weeks ago. And there's also Jackson Holliday, son of Matt Holliday. So it's three guys who are sons of former big leaguers. Drew Jones is Andrew Jones' son, any of whom could potentially go with the first overall pick and are three of the four or five best players in this draft class. And by the way, all teenagers. It's a very high school hitter-heavy draft class.
You know, we just had the College World Series. Now, of course, they've changed the draft, so it doesn't impact the College World Series, which it used to do. But did anyone's stock rise out of the College World Series that we haven't talked about or that we have talked about that you know, move up on the scale?
There were a couple of guys on Oklahoma especially. Cade Horton, if you watched any of the College World Series, you probably saw him. He's a shortstop and sometime relief pitcher, sometime starting pitcher, had been starting down the stretch for Oklahoma. It's above average fastball plus slider. I don't know that he's really a starter long term. He doesn't have the third pitch. He is not a particularly big or physical guy. He looks, pitches a bit more like a reliever, but he went from somebody who was probably third to fifth round, kind of in that good college reliever, athletic, maybe we make him a starter type, to someone who could maybe sneak into the second round. Because there's always, you know, it only takes one team to see a guy like that and say, oh, he's definitely a starter. And they're the team that drafts him. He's probably the best example of a guy who helped himself. What's interesting is the team that won, Ole Miss, could easily have nobody drafted in the top three rounds. They just had and they weren't even that good in the regular college season. They just had the best tournament run. And I mean, I'm not saying that as a criticism of them. It is always interesting to me when Coastal Carolina won a few years ago or Ole Miss this year. They're not a prospecty team. They're not going to put a lot of guys in the big leagues, but they were just a really good college team that played well at the right time.
What do the Giants do? They're 30th here, and I look at all the mock drafts. They've got someone from Oklahoma in there and different players I've never really heard of. What do you think is coming for the Giants?
Yeah, it may very well just depend a lot. It's probably going to depend a lot on what happens ahead of them. Our general expectation, and I see what my friends look at MLB or Fangraphs, what they're saying too. We all seem to be of the opinion that after about pick 20 or so, it's going to be a lot of college players, probably a lot of college position players. And there aren't many college pitchers even worth first-round picks this year, but there are two or three, and they'll sneak in there. I'm assuming that was whoever you saw going to the Giants, there was one of the college pitchers from Oklahoma, or Oklahoma State for that matter. They also have one. There are a couple of those guys, Matt Harrington from Campbell, Adam Nazar from Iowa, both pretty good, maybe not high ceiling, but pretty good safe picks as college pitchers. Wouldn't surprise me if the Giants went in the position player direction, though, and tried to find someone where they felt like there was some untapped potential. And there are a lot of guys in this year's draft. There are a lot of pretty toolsy college players who underperformed a little bit relative to their abilities, where the Giants could say, that's a guy we can help. We can bring him into our farm system and work with him on optimizing his swing or improving some of his pitch selection. And that opens things up a lot more. We're all assuming those picks in the 20s are going to be the guys, the safe guys, the guys who performed. But we know the Giants, we know this regime, and we know the types of players they do tend to look for in acquisitions, whether it's the draft or even in pro ball. I wouldn't be surprised if they took someone lower on all of our lists because they see something specific they think they can help.
Well, it's good to draft 30th, really, isn't it? I mean, it means you did something
right. It means you
were
pretty good last year.
That's right. It means you did something right.
You draft first, you get your pick, but it generally means you had a bad year.
That's right. Give me a sleeper who can jump into this first five or six. There's some names, the catcher from Georgia Tech, Tamar Johnson, Elijah Green. Give me someone who will be watching the draft and say, gee, Keith did mention this guy.
Yeah, the guys, outside of the guys I've mentioned, we've heard Zach Neto, who's a pretty talented, just a little undersized infielder from Campbell University, teammate of Harrington, who I just mentioned. I don't know if he gets top five, but he might go as high as seventh overall in the draft. That wouldn't shock me. There has been some talk of Robbie Snelling, who's a high school lefty and a multi-sport guy. He's a pretty good football prospect as well from a high school in Reno, Nevada. He could jump into the top 10. He might be the best chance we have of any pitcher going in the top 10. There's a chance we don't have anybody, which hasn't happened in the draft since 1979.
Wow.
And there's Brock Porter, who's a high school pitcher in Michigan. He's got a chance to maybe get into the top 10. This is probably a little lower down than what you're talking about, but Jet Williams is a 5'8", legit 5'8", shortstop from the Dallas area, but he can really hit. He's got pretty surprising power for his size, and he's probably not a shortstop, but he's going to be good somewhere defensively, second base or maybe center field. People love the hit tool, really like the makeup, and like the fact that there's power for his size. I think a lot of folks are looking at him and wondering if it's a bit of Alex Bregman, because we all thought Alex Bregman could hit in high school. He was strongly committed to LSU, but no one really thought he was going to get to this power, but he has. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, everyone says, well, we don't want to miss the next one. There will be another kid like that at some point. Maybe it's Jet Williams.
Boy, great to have you on, Keith. I hope that we can have you on after the draft and catch up with you. There's so much more to talk about Kumar Rocker as well. So enjoy the afternoon, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Keith.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right, that is Keith Law of The Athletic. All right, it is now time for this week's Community Spotlight, sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, with 15 locations to serve you. This month's spotlight is on the San Francisco Foster Youth Fund.
Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.